Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and I will enter you from both ends of your digestive tract. I'm not going to be reading this one, so fuck off.
Welcome back, everybody. It's now Saturday the 8th, going strong on Goosebumps number 13, Piano Lessons Can Be Murder. You know, we got our main character, Jerome. You know, loves to play pranks on people, moves into a spooky old house, new town, finds a piano in the attic. It starts playing itself at night. It's crazy. Now he's learning how to play the piano. He really wants to play some Ray Charles, some Jerry Lee Lewis. But, you know, boring old Dr. Shriek, his piano teacher, just wants to teach him scales for now. But there's an interesting little hand fetish that appears to be developing between Dr. Shriek and Jerry's little digits there, so that's something to keep an eye on. But it's a new day. Sun's shining brightly. Playoff football Saturday. I got the silver bullet loaded and ready to go. Chapter 14. The unearthly cold shot through my entire body. Uttering a terrified cry, I jerked away and spun around to face her. "Mom!" Of course, I cried. My shrill voice was really tiny. "Sorry my hands are so cold," she replied calmly, unaware of how badly she had scared me. "It's freezing out. Didn't you hear me calling you?" "No," I told her. My neck still tingled. I tried to rub the cold away. I was thinking about stuff, and...
"Well, I didn't mean to scare you," she said, leading the way across the small parking lot to the car.
She stopped to pull the car keys from her bag.
"Did you and Dr. Fry have a nice talk?"
Oh yeah, Jerry is also going to a psychiatrist now. Even though I think it might be a psychologist, and Arl Stein does not know the difference between the two.
I actually had to look up the difference myself. Apparently, the psychologist has two cigar-like cylindrical projections near the anal fins, or... Oh, never mind. This is how to sex a shark. I still don't know the difference.
Kind of, I said. This ghost has me jumping out of my skin, I realized as I climbed into the car. Now I'm seeing the ghost everywhere. I've got to calm down, I told myself. I've just got to. I've got to stop thinking about the ghost that's following me. But how? Remember my Casio? It's cranking. Friday after school, Mom drove me to Dr. Shriek's music school. It was a cold, gray day. I stared at my breath steaming up the passenger window as we drove. It had snowed the day before, and the roads were still icy and slick.
"I hope we're not late," Mom fretted.
We stopped for a light. Oh, that's funny. She cleared the windshield in front of her with the back of her gloved hand.
"I'm afraid to drive any faster than this."
All of the cars were inching along. We drove past a bunch of kids building a snow fort in the front yard. One little red-faced kid was crying because the others wouldn't let him join them. Little punk.
"The school is practically in the next town," Mom remarked, pumping the brakes as we slid toward an intersection. "I wonder why Dr. Shriek has his school so far away from everything."
"I don't know," I answered dully. I was kind of nervous. "Do you think Dr. Shriek will be my instructor, or do you think I'll have someone else?" Mom shrugged her shoulders. She leaned forward over the steering wheel, struggling to see through the steamed-up windshield. Finally, we turned onto the street where the school was located. I stared out at the block of dark old houses. The houses gave way to woods, the bare trees tilting up under a white blanket of snow. On the other side of the woods stood a brick building, half hidden behind tall hedges.
"This must be the school," Mom said, stopping the car in the middle of the street and staring up at the old building. "There's no sign or anything, but it's the only building for blocks."
"It's creepy looking," I said. Squinting through the windshield, she pulled the car into a narrow gravel driveway, nearly hidden by the tall snow-covered hedges. "Are you sure this is it?" I asked. I cleared a spot in the window with my hand and peered through it. The old building looked more like a prison than a school. It had rows of tiny windows above the ground floor, and all the windows were barred. Where's the school located? Sherman Heights?
For the record, I live in Sherman Heights. It's an area of San Diego that's maybe a little lower income than some neighborhoods. Whatever, Nick, you're just jealous because Claremont wasn't featured on Gangland, and we were.
Thick ivy covered the front of the building, making it appear even darker than it was.
"I'm pretty sure," Mom said, biting her lip just so sexy-like.
She lowered the window and stuck her head out, gazing up at the enormous old house. The sound of piano music floated into the car. Notes and scales and melodies all mixed together.
"Yeah, we found it," Mom declared happily. Go on, Jerry, hurry. You're late. I'm going to pick up some dinner. I'll be back in an hour.
I pushed open the car door and stepped out onto the snowy driveway. My boots crunched loudly as I started to jog toward the building. The piano music grew louder. Scales and songs jumbled together into a deafening rumble of noise. A narrow walk led up to the front stoop. The walk hadn't been shoveled, and a layer of ice had formed under the snow. I slipped and nearly fell as I approached the entrance. Like your little gag, Jerry. I stopped. He likes falling down. That was another plot point from the first half, in case you missed it. I stopped and gazed up. It looks more like a haunted house than a music school, I thought with a shiver. Is it a prison? Is it a haunted Make up your mind. Why did I have such a heavy feeling of dread? Just nervous, I told myself, shrugging away my feeling. I turned the cold brass doorknob and pushed open the heavy door. It creaked open slowly. Taking a deep breath, I stepped into the school! Oh, there was no climax on that one. Chapter 15, y'all. A long, narrow hall stretched before me. The hall was surprisingly dark. Coming in from the bright, white snow, it took my eyes a long time to adjust. The walls were a dark tile. My boots thudded noisily on the hard floor. Piano notes echoed through the hall. The music seemed to burst out from all directions. Where is Dr. Shriek's office? I wondered. I made my way down the hall. The lights grew dimmer. I turned into another long hallway, and the piano music grew louder. There were dark brown doors on both sides of this corridor. The doors had small, round windows in them. As I continued walking, I glanced into the windows. I could see smiling instructors in each room, their heads bobbing in rhythm to piano music. I'm bobbing my head viciously. Searching for the office, I passed door after door. Each room had a student and an instructor. The piano sounds became a roar, like an ocean of music crashing against the dark tile walls. Dr. Shriek really has a lot of students, I thought. There must be 100 pianos playing at once. You don't want to hear that. I turned another corner and then another. I suddenly realized I had completely lost my sense of direction. I had no idea where I was. I couldn't find my way back to the front door even if I wanted to. Dr. Shriek, where are you? I muttered to myself. My voice was drowned out by the booming piano music that echoed off the walls and low ceiling. I began to feel a little frightened. What if these dark halls twisted on forever? I imagined myself walking and walking for the rest of my life, unable to find my way out, deafened by the pounding piano music. Now that would have been a good plot for a book. The whole book, walking down a hallway for his whole life, and just crazy things keep happening. That book will kick ass. I'm telling you, somebody better get murdered in this book.
I think that book that you're thinking of was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. When they go to hell. And then they meld in the Grim Reaper. And then Station!
Jerry, stop scaring yourself, I said aloud. Something caught my eye. I stopped walking and stared up at the ceiling. A small black camera was perched above my head. It appears to be a video camera, like the security cameras you see in banks and stores. Was someone watching me on a TV screen somewhere? If they were, why didn't they come help me find the way to Dr. Shriek? I began to get angry. What kind of school was this? No signs, no office, no one to greet people. As I turned another corner, I heard a strange thumping sound. At first, I thought it was just another piano in one of the practice rooms. The thumping grew louder, closer. I stopped in the middle of the hall and listened. A high-pitched whine rose up over the thumping sounds. Louder and louder. The floor seemed to shake. As I stared down the dark hall, an enormous monster turned the corner. Its huge, square body glowed in the dim light as if it were made of metal. Its rectangular head bobbed near the ceiling. Its feet crashed against the hard floor as it moved to attack me. Eyes on the side of its head flashed an angry red. No, I cried, swallowing hard. It uttered its high-pitched whine in reply. Then it lowered its gleaming head as if to prepare for battle. I spun away, determined to escape. To my shock, as I turned, I saw Dr. Shriek. He stood just a few yards down the hall. Dr. Shriek was watching the enormous creature move in on me, a pleased grin on his face.
I won't even bang on the piano because I know it's probably not a monster. It's probably some sort of inanimate object.
But chapter 16 will tell us all about that. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I stopped short with a loud gasp.
Behind me, the creature was stomping closer, blasting out its angry whine. Ahead of me, Dr. Shriek, his blue eyes glowing with pleasure, blocked my escape. I cried out, preparing to be caught from behind by the silvery monster. But it stopped.
Silence. No crashing of its heavy metallic feet. No shrill whine.
"Hello, Jerry," Dr. Shriek said calmly, still grinning. "What are you doing all the way back here?"
Breathing hard, I pointed to the monster, which stood silently, staring down at me.
"You are admiring our floor sweeper," Dr. Shriek asked.
"Your what?" I managed to choke out.
"Our floor sweeper, it's rather special,"
Dr. Shriek said. He stepped past me and put a hand on the front of the thing.
It's a machine?" I stammered.
"No fucking shit." He laughed. "You didn't think it was alive, did you?" I just gaped at it. I was still too freaked out to speak.
"Mr. Toggle, our janitor, built this for us," Dr. Shriek said, rubbing his hand along the square metal front of it. "It works like a dream. Mr. Toggle can build anything. He's a genius, a true genius."
"Why does it have a face?" I asked, hanging back against the wall. "Why does it have eyes that light up?"
"Just Mr. Toggle's sense of humor," Dr. Shriek replied, chuckling. "He put in those cameras, too."
He pointed to the video camera perched on the ceiling.
"Mr. Toggle is a mechanical genius. We couldn't do a thing without him. We really couldn't."
I took a few reluctant steps forward and admired the floor sweeper from closer up. "I couldn't find your office," I told Dr. Shriek. "I was wandering and wandering."
"I apologize,"
he replied quickly.
"I said it's too late to apologize! It's too late!
Let us begin your lesson. Come."
I followed him as he led the way back into the direction I had come. He walked stiffly. Oh, wait, he's not talking. He walked stiffly, but rapidly. His white shirt was untucked in front of his big stomach. He swung his hands stiffly as he walked. I felt really stupid. Imagine letting myself be terrified by a floor sweeper. He pushed open one of the brown doors with a round window, and I followed him into the room. I glanced quickly around. It was a small, square room lighted by two rows of fluorescents on the ceiling. There was no window. The only furniture was a small brown upright piano, a narrow piano bench, and a music stand. Dr. Shriek motioned for me to sit down on the piano bench, and we began our lesson. He stood behind me, placing my fingers carefully on the keys, even though I now knew how to do it myself. We practiced different notes. I hit C's and D's, then we tried E's and F's. He showed me my first chord. Then he had me do scales over and over and over. I apparently don't know D major.
You apparently know how to suck D major cock at playing piano. Dune rules.
Excellent, he declared near the end of the hour.
Excellent work, Jerry. I'm most pleased.
His Santa Claus cheeks were bright pink beneath his white mustache. I squeezed my hands together, trying to get rid of a cramp. Are you going to be my teacher? I asked.
He nodded. Yes. I will instruct you in the basics, he replied. Then, when your hands are ready, you will be given over to one of our fine teachers.
When my hands are ready? What exactly did he mean by that? Suspicious. Let us try this short piece, he said, reaching over me to turn the page in the music book.
Now, this piece has only three notes, but you must pay attention to the quarter notes and the half notes. Do you remember how long to continue a half note?
I demonstrated on the piano. One, two. It's like that, two counts. Then I tried to play the short melody. I did pretty well. Only a few clunkers.
Wonderful, just wonderful, Dr. Shriek declared,
staring at my hands as I played. He glanced at his watch.
I'm afraid our time is up. See you next Friday, Jerry. Be sure to practice what I showed you.
I thanked him and climbed to my feet. I was glad the lesson was over. Having to concentrate so hard was really tiring. Both my hands were sweating, and I still had a cramp in one. I headed to the door, then stopped.
Which way do I go?
I asked. How do I get to the front? Dr. Shriek was busy collecting the worksheets we had used, tucking them into the music book.
Just keep going left, he said without looking up. You can't miss it.
I said goodbye and stepped out into the dark hallway. My ears were immediately attacked by the roar of piano notes. Aren't the other lessons over? I wondered. How come they keep playing even though the hour is up? I glanced in both directions, making sure there were no floor sweepers waiting to attack. Then I turned left, as Dr. Shriek had instructed, and began to follow the hallway toward the front. As I passed door after door, I could see the smiling instructors inside each room, their heads moving in rhythm with the piano playing. Most of the students in these rooms were more advanced than me, I realized. They weren't practicing notes and scales. They were playing long, complicated pieces. I turned left, then when the quarter came to an end, turned left one more time. It took me a while to realize that I was lost again. Had I missed a left turn somewhere? The dark halls with their rows of brown doors on both sides all looked alike. I turned left again. My heart began to pound. Why wasn't anyone else in the hall? Then up ahead I saw double doors. The front exit must be through these doors, I decided. I made my way eagerly to the double doors and started to push through them, when powerful hands grabbed me from behind and a gruff voice rasped in my ear. No, you don't! Chickity Chickity, Chapter 17. Huh? I uttered a startled cry. The hands pulled me back, then let go of my shoulders. The double doors swung back into place. I spun around to see a tall, wiry man with long, scraggly black hair and a stubbly black beard. He wore a yellow t-shirt under denim overalls.
Not that way, he said softly. You're looking for the front? It's up there.
He pointed to the hall to the left. Oh, sorry, I said, breathing hard. You scared me.
The man apologized. I'll take you to the front, he offered, scratching his stubbly cheek. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Mr. Toggle.
Oh, hi, I said. I'm Jerry Seinfeld. Dr. Shriek told me about you. I saw your floor sweeper. He smiled. His black eyes lit up like dark coals.
Oh, it's a beauty, isn't it? I have a few other creations like it, some even better.
Dr. Shriek says you're a mechanical genius, I gushed. Mr. Toggle chuckled to himself.
Yes, I programmed him to say that, he joked. We both laughed.
Next time you come to the school, I'll show you some of my other inventions, Mr. Toggle offered, adjusting his overall straps over his slender shoulders, as I'm adjusting the southern accent as I develop it further. Thanks, I replied. The front door was right up ahead. I was never so glad to see a door. I'm sure I'll catch on to the layout of this place, I said. He didn't seem to hear me.
Dr. Shriek tells me you have excellent hands, he said, a strange smile forming under his stubbly black beard. That's what we look for here, Jerry. That's what we look for.
Feeling kind of awkward. I thanked him. I mean, what are you supposed to say when someone tells you what excellent hands you've got? Especially when it happens 90,000 times. And if you don't think that has something to do with, like, the big twist that's going to come at the end, you don't read enough Goosebumps, actually. Alright, where was I? I pushed open the heavy front door and saw Mom waiting in the car. Good night, I called and eagerly ran out of the school into the snowy evening. After dinner, Mom and Dad insisted that I show them what I had learned in my piano lesson. I really didn't want to. I had only learned that one simple song, and I still hadn't played it all the way through without goofing it up. But they forced me into the family room and pushed me onto the piano bench.
If I'm going to pay for the lessons, I want to hear what you're doing, Dad said.
He sat down close to Mom on the couch, facing the back of the piano. We only tried one song, I said. Could we wait till I learn more?
Play it, Dad ordered.
I sighed. I have a cramp in my hand. Come on, Jerry, don't make excuses, Mom snapped impatiently. Just play the song, okay? Then we won't bug you any more tonight.
What did the school look like? Dad asked Mom. It's way on the other side of town, isn't it?
It's practically out of town, Mom told him. It's in this very old house. Kind of run down looking, actually. But Jerry told me it's nice inside.
No, I didn't, I interrupted. I said it was big. I didn't say it was nice. I got lost in the halls twice. It looked like a prison. It looked like a haunted house. It looked like anything but a school.
And really? Really, no sign on the building saying it's a school. But it was the only ad in the classifieds for piano teacher. It's just, do they want to be known, and do they want, you know, the publicity, or do they not? I'm just confused. It's the only ad in the list, yet the building is blank. Just not, something's not adding up here, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, this is just thinking out loud, okay? Something's not adding up. I'm a little concerned here.
Dad laughed. I see you have your mother's sense of direction.
Mom gave Dad a playful shove. Just play the fucking piece, she said to me. I found it in the music book and propped the book in front of me on the piano. Then I arranged my fingers on the keys and prepared to play. But before I hit the first note, the piano erupted with a barrage of low notes. It sounded as if someone was pounding on the keys with both fists. Jerry, stop it, Mom said sharply. That's too loud.
That can't be what you learned, Dad added. I set my fingers in place and began to play. But my notes were drowned out by the horrible, loud banging again. It sounded like a little kid pounding away on the keys as hard as he could.
Jerry, give us a break, Mom shouted, holding her ears.
But I'm not doing it, I screamed. It isn't me.
It's so ghosty.
Chapter 18. They didn't believe me. Instead, they got angry. They accused me of never taking anything seriously and sent me up to my room.
I was actually glad to get out of the family room and away from that haunted piano. I knew who was pounding the keys and making that racket. The ghost was doing it. Why? What was she trying to prove? What did she plan to do to me? Those questions I couldn't answer. Yet! The next Friday afternoon, Mr. Toggle kept his promise. He greeted me at the door to his piano school after my mom dropped me off. He led me through the twisting halls to his enormous workshop. Mr. Toggle's workshop was the size of an Mr. Toggle's workshop was the size of an auditorium. The vast room was cluttered with machines and electronic equipment. An enormous two-headed metal creature, at least three times as tall as the floor sweeper that had terrified me the week before, stood in the center. It was surrounded by tape machines, stacks of electric motors, cases of tools and strange-looking parts, video equipment, a pair of bicycle wheels, several piano frames with no insides, animal cages, and an old car with its seats removed. What a list of crap. One entire wall seemed to be a control... I didn't add anything to it. The list was literally that long. One entire wall seemed to be a control panel. It had more than a dozen video screens, all on, all showing different classes going on in the school. Around the screens were thousands of dials and knobs blinking red and green lights, speakers, and microphones. Beneath the control panel, on a counter that ran the length of the room, stood at least a dozen computers. All of them seemed to be powered up. Wow, I exclaimed. My eyes kept darting from one amazing thing to another. I don't believe this. Mr. Toggle chuckled. His dark eyes lit up. I find ways to keep busy, he said. He led me to an uncluttered corner of the enormous room. Let me show you some of my musical instruments. He walked to a row of tall, gray metal cabinets along the far wall. He pulled a few items from a cabinet and came hurrying back. Do you know what this is, Jerry? He held up a shiny brass instrument attached to some kind of tank. A saxophone? I guessed. Oh, a very special saxophone, he said, grinning. See? It's attached to this tank of compressed air. That means you don't have to blow into it. You can concentrate on your fingering. Wow, I said. That's really neat. Here, put this on, Mr. Toggle urged. He slipped a brown leather cap over my head. The cap had several thin wires flowing out the back, and it was attached to a small keyboard. What is it? I asked, adjusting the cap over my ears. Blink your eyes, Mr. Toggle instructed. I blinked, and the keyboard played a chord. I moved my eyes from right to left. It played another chord. I winked one eye. It played a note. It's completely eye-controlled, Mr. Toggle said with pride. No hands required. Wow, I repeated. I didn't know what else to say. This stuff was amazing. Mr. Toggle glanced up at a row of clocks on the control panel wall. You're late for class, Jerry. Dr. Shriek will be waiting. Tell him it's my fault, okay? Okay, I said. Thanks for showing me everything. He laughed. I didn't show you everything, he joked. There's lots more. He began undoing his belt, but I quickly left the room. It was nearly 4:15. I hoped Dr. Shriek wouldn't be angry that I was 15 minutes late. As I jogged across the enormous workroom, I nearly ran into a row of dark metal cabinets, shut and padlocked. Turning away from them, I suddenly heard a voice. Help! A weak cry. I stopped by the side of the cabinet and listened hard, and heard it again, a little voice, very faint. Help me, please! Whew. Spooky. It is everyone's favorite chapter, chapter 19. Mr. Toggle, what's that? I cried. He had begun fiddling with the wires on the brown leather cap. He slowly looked up. What's what? That cry, I told him, pointing to the cabinet. I heard a voice. He frowned. It's just damaged equipment, he muttered, returning his attention to the wires. Huh? Damaged equipment? I wasn't sure I'd heard him correctly. Yep, just some damaged equipment, he repeated impatiently. You'd better hurry, Jerry. Dr. Shriek must be wondering where you are, son. I heard a second cry, a voice very weak and tiny. Help me, please. I hesitated. Mr. Toggle was staring at me impatiently. I had no choice. I turned and ran from the room, the weak cry still in my ears. On Saturday afternoon, I went outside to shovel snow off our driveway. It had snowed the night before, only an inch or two. Now it was one of those clear winter days with a bright blue sky overhead. It felt good to be out in the crisp air, getting some exercise. Everything seemed so fresh and clean. I was finishing down at the bottom of the drive, my arms starting to ache from all the shoveling, when I saw Kim Lee Chin. She was climbing out of her mother's black Honda, carrying her violin case. I guess she was coming from a lesson. I had seen her in school a few times, but I hadn't really talked to her since that day she ran away from me in the hall. "Hey," I called across the street, leaning on the shovel, a little out of breath. "Hi." She handed the violin case to her mother and waved back. Then she came jogging toward me, her black high tops crunching over the snow. "How's it going?" she asked. "Pretty snow, huh?" I nodded. "Yeah, want to shovel some? I still have to do the walk." She laughed. "No, thanks." She had a high, tinkly laugh, like two glasses clinking together. Hing. Maybe? I don't know. "You coming from a violin lesson?" I asked, still leaning on the shovel like a super cool kid. "Yeah, I'm working on a Bach piece. It's pretty hard." "You're ahead of me," I told her. "I'm still doing mostly notes and scales." Her smile faded. Her eyes grew thoughtful. We talked a little while about school. Then I asked if she'd like to come in and have some hot chocolate or something. "What about the walk?" she asked, pointing. "I thought you had to shovel it." "Dad would be disappointed if I didn't save some of it for him," I joked. "Ayo!"
"Heyo!"
Mom filled two big white mugs with hot chocolate. Of course I burned my tongue on the first sip. Kim and I were sitting in the den. Kim sat on the piano bench and tapped some keys lightly. "It has a really good tone," she said, her face growing serious. "Better than my mother's piano. What is that, a Casio CA-110? Woo! Smoking!" "Why did you run away that afternoon?" I blurted out. It had been on my mind ever since it happened. I had to know the answer. She lowered her eyes to the piano keyboard and pretended she hadn't heard me. So I asked again. "Why did you run away like that, Kim?" "I didn't," she replied finally, still avoiding my eyes. "I was late for a lesson, that's all." I set my hot chocolate mug down on the coffee table and leaned against the arm of the couch. "I told you I was going to take piano lessons at the Shriek School, remember? Then you got this strange look on your face and you ran away." Kim sighed. She had the white hot chocolate mug in her lap. I saw that she was gripping it tightly in both hands. "Jerry, I really don't want to talk about it," she said softly. "It's too scary."
"Scary?" I asked.
"Don't you know the stories about the Shriek School?" she asked.
Woo, story time. Chapter 20, the story chapter. Somebody better get murdered in the story. What a misleading title.
I laughed. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was the serious expression on Kim's face. "Stories? What kind of stories?" "I really don't want to tell you," she said. She took a long sip from the white mug, then returned it to her lap. "I just moved here, remember?" I told her, "so I haven't heard any stories. What are they about?" "Things about the school," she muttered. She climbed off the piano bench and walked to the window, carrying the mug in one hand. "What kinds of things?" I demanded. "Come on, Kim, tell me." "Well, things like, there are monsters there," she replied, staring out the window into the snowy backyard. "Real monsters that live in the basement."
"Monsters?" I laughed.
Kim spun around. "It's not funny," she snapped. "I've seen the monsters," I told her, shaking my head. Her face filled with surprise.
"You've what?"
"I've seen the monsters," I repeated. "They're floor sweepers."
"Huh?"
Her mouth dropped open. She nearly spilled hot chocolate down the front of her sweatshirt.
"Floor sweepers? Yeah, Mr. Toggle built them. He works at the school. He's some kind of mechanical genius. He builds all kinds of things." "But," she started, "let me interrupt you, since apparently I know everything about the subject now. I saw one my first day at the school," I continued. "I thought it was some kind of monster. It made this weird whining sound, and it was coming right at me. I practically dropped my teeth!"
Third time.
"But it was one of Mr. Toggle's floor cleaners."
Kim tilted her head, staring at me thoughtfully.
"Well, you know how stories get started," she said. "I knew they probably weren't true. They probably all have simple explanations like that."
"All?" I asked. "There are more?"
"Well," she hesitated. "There were stories about how kids went in for lessons and never came out. How they vanished. Just disappeared."
"That's Kim Possible," I said.
Hey, Kim Possible.
"Yeah, I guess," she quickly agreed. Then I remembered the tiny voice from the cabinet calling out for help.
Ooh, trapped students.
"It had to be some invention of Mr. Toggle's," I told myself. "It had to be. Damaged equipment," he said. He didn't seem the least bit excited or upset about it.
"It's funny how scary stories get started," Kim said, walking back to the piano bench.
"Well, the piano school building is creepy and old," I said. "It really looks like some kind of haunted mansion. I guess that's probably why some of the stories got started." Probably, she agreed. The school isn't haunted, but that piano is, I told her. I don't know what made me say it. I hadn't told anyone about the ghost in the piano. I knew no one would believe me. Kim gave me a little start and stared at the piano. This piano's haunted? What do you mean? How do you know? Late at night, I hear someone playing it, I told her. A woman. I saw her once. Kim laughed. You're putting me on, right? I shook my head. No, I'm serious, Kim. I saw this woman late at night. She plays the same sad melody over and over. Remember? Jerry, come on, Kim pleaded, rolling her eyes. The woman talked to me. Her skin fell off. It was so frightening, Kim. Her face disappeared. Her skull, it stared at me, and she warned me to stay away. Stay away! I felt a shiver. Somehow I had shut that scary scene out of my mind for a few days, but now, as I told it to Kim, it all came back to me. Kim had a big grin on her face. You're a better storyteller than I am, she said. Do you know a lot of ghost stories? It isn't a story, I cried. Suddenly, I was desperate for her to believe me. Kim started to reply, but my mom poked her head into the family room and interrupted.
Kim, your mom just called. She needs you to come home now.
Guess I'd better go, Kim said, setting down the hot chocolate mug. I followed her out. We had just reached the family room doorway when the piano began to play. A strange jumble of notes. See? I cried excitedly to Kim. See? Now do you believe me? 21! We both turned back to stare at the piano. Bonkers was strutting all over the keys, her tail straight up behind her. Bonkers. Kim laughed. Jerry, you're funny. I almost believed you. But, I sputtered. That stupid cat had made a fool of me again. The cat making a fool of you at all. So sad. See you in school, Kim said. I loved your ghost story. Thanks, I said weakly. Then I hurried across the room to chase Bonkers off the piano. Late that night, I heard the piano playing again. I sat straight up in bed. The shadows on my ceiling seemed to be moving in time to the music. I had been sleeping lightly, restlessly. I must have kicked off my covers in my sleep, because they were bunched at the foot of the bed. Now, listening to the familiar slow melody, I was wide awake. This was not Bonkers strutting over the keys. This was the ghost. I stood up. The floorboards were ice cold. Outside the bedroom window, I could see the winter bare trees shivering in a strong breeze. As I crept to the bedroom doorway, the music grew louder. Should I go down there? I asked myself. Will the ghost disappear the minute I poke my head into the family room? Do I really want to see her? I didn't want to see that hideous grinning skull again. But I realized I couldn't just stand there in the doorway. I couldn't go back to bed. I couldn't ignore it. I had to go investigate. I was pulled downstairs, as if tugged by an invisible rope. Maybe this time Mom and Dad will hear her too, I thought as I made my way along the hallway. Maybe they will see her too. Maybe they will finally believe me. Kim flashed into my mind as I started down the creaking stairs. She thought I was making up a ghost story. She thought I was trying to be funny. But there really was a ghost in my house, a ghost playing my piano, and I was the only one who knew it. Into the living room, across the worn carpet to the dining room, the music floated so gently, so quietly. Such ghostly music, I thought. I'm pretty good at ghostly music. I hesitated just short of the family room doorway. Would she vanish the instant I peeked in? Was she waiting for me? Taking a deep breath, I took a step into the family room.
Deuce, deuce!
She had her head down, her long hair falling over her face. I couldn't see her eyes. The piano music seemed to swirl around me, pulling me closer despite my fear. My legs were trembling, but I took a step closer, then another. She was all gray, shades of gray against the blackness of the night sky through the windows. Her head bobbed and swayed in rhythm with the music. The sleeves of her blouse billowed as her arms moved over the keys.
I couldn't see her eyes. I couldn't see her face. Her long hair covered her, as if hiding her behind a curtain. The music soared, so sad, so incredibly sad. I took a step closer. I suddenly realized I had forgotten to breathe. I let my breath out in a loud whoosh. She stopped playing. Maybe the sound of my breathing alerted her that I was there. As she raised her head, I could see her pale eyes peering out at me through her hair. I didn't move. I didn't breathe. I didn't make a sound. "The stories are true," she whispered, a dry whisper that seemed to come from far away. I wasn't sure I'd heard her correctly. I tried to say something, but my voice caught in my throat. No sound came out at all. "The stories are true," she repeated. Her voice was only air, a hiss of air. I goggled at her. "What stories?" I finally managed to choke out. "The stories about the school," she answered, her hair falling over her face. Then she started to raise her arms off the piano keys. "They're true," she moaned. "The stories are true." She held her arms up to me. Gaping at them in horror, I cried out, then started to gag. Her arms ended in stumps. She had no hands.
Hey, Nick. You know what they should call this book? Roombas can be easily mistaken for monsters. Good stuff, dude.
Chapter 23 with the handless ghost piano player. The next thing I knew, my mom was wrapping her arms around me. "Jerry, calm down, Jerry. It's okay. It's okay," she kept repeating. "Huh? Mom?" I was gasping for breath. My chest was heaving up and down. My legs were all wobbly like. "Mom, where? How?" I looked up to see my dad standing a few feet away, squinting at me through his glasses, his arms crossed in front of his bathrobe. "Jerry, you were screaming loud enough to wake the entire town." I stared at him in disbelief. I hadn't even realized I was screaming. "It's okay now," Mom said soothingly. "It's okay, Jerry. You're okay now." "I'm okay?" Again, I pictured the ghost woman, all in gray, her hair falling down, forming a curtain over her face. Again, I saw her raise her arms to show me. Again, I saw the horrible stumps where her hands should have been. And again, I heard her dry whisper. "Stories are true." Why didn't she have any hands? Why? How did she play the piano without hands? Why was she haunting my piano? Why did she want to terrify me? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? The questions circled my brain so fast, I wanted to scream and scream and scream. But I was all screamed out. "Your mom and I were both sound asleep. You scared us to death," Dad said. "I never heard wails like that." Wails. I didn't remember screaming. I didn't remember the ghost disappearing or Mom and Dad rushing in. It was all too horrifying. I guess my mind just shut off. "I'll make you some hot chocolate," Mom said, still holding me tight. "Try to stop trembling." "I'm trying," I stammered. "Guess it was another nightmare," I heard Dad tell Mom. "Must have been a vivid one." "It wasn't a nightmare," I shrieked. "Sorry," Dad said quickly. He didn't want to get me started again, but it was too late. Before I even realized it was happening, I started to scream. "I don't want to play the piano! Get it out of here! Get it out!" "Jerry, please," Mom pleaded, her face tight with alarm. But I couldn't stop. "I don't want to play! I don't want lessons! I won't go to that piano school! I won't! I won't! I won't!" "Okay, okay," Dad cried, shouting to be heard over my desperate wails. "Okay, Jerry, no one is going to force you." "Huh?" I gazed from one parent to the other, trying to see if they were serious. "If you don't want piano lessons, you don't have to take them," Mom said, keeping her voice in a low, soothing tone. "You're only signed up for one more anyway." "Yeah," Dad quickly joined in. "When you go to the school on Friday, just tell Dr. Shriek that it's your last lesson." "But I don't want—" I started, but Mom put a gentle hand over my mouth. "You have to tell Dr. Shriek, Jerry. You can't just quit." "Tell him on Friday," Dad urged. "You don't have to play the piano if you don't want to. Really." Mom's eyes searched mine. "Does that make you feel better, Jerry?" I glanced at the piano, now silent, shimmering dully in the dim light from overhead. "Yeah, I guess," I muttered uncertainly. "I guess it does." Friday afternoon after school, a gray, blustery day with dark snow clouds hovering low overhead, Mom drove me to the piano school. She pulled into the long driveway between the tall hedges and stopped in front of the entrance to the dark, old building. I hesitated. Couldn't I just run in and tell Dr. Shriek that I quit, then run right back out? Mom glanced at the clock on the dashboard. Take one more lesson, Jerry. It won't hurt. Or murder you. We've already paid for it. I sighed unhappily. Will you come in with me, or can you wait out here for me? Mom frowned. Jerry, I've got 3 stops to make. I'll be back in an hour, I promise.
I pushed open the car door.
Bye, Mom.
If Dr. Shriek asks why you're quitting, just tell him it was interfering with your schoolwork.
Okay, see you in an hour, I said. I slammed the car door, then watched as she drove away, the tires crunching over the gravel drive. I turned and trudged into the school building. My sneakers thudded loudly as I made my way through the dark halls to Dr. Shriek's room. I looked for Mr. Toggle, but didn't see him. Maybe he was in his enormous workshop, inventing more amazing things. The usual roar of piano notes poured from the practice rooms as I passed by them. Through the small, round windows, I could see the smiling instructors, their hands waving, keeping the beat, their heads swaying to their students playing. As I turned a corner and headed down another long, dark corridor, a strange thought popped into my head. I suddenly realized that I had never seen another student in the halls. I had seen instructors through the windows of the rooms, and I had heard the noise of their students playing, but I had never seen another student, not one. I didn't have a long time to think about it. A smiling Dr. Shriek greeted me outside the door to our practice room.
How are you today, Jerry?
Okay, I replied, following him into the room. He wore baggy gray pants held up with bright red suspenders over a rumpled white shirt. His white hair looked as if it hadn't been brushed in a few days. He motioned for me to take my place on the piano bench. I sat down quickly, folding my hands tensely in my lap. I wanted to get my speech over with quickly before we began the lesson. Dr. Shriek? He walked stiffly across the small room until he was standing right in front of me.
Yes, my boy?
He beamed down at me, his Santa Claus cheeks bright pink.
Santa Claus cheeks is the worst porn name ever.
Well, this will be my last lesson, I choked out. I've decided I, have to quit. His smile vanished. He grabbed my wrist.
Oh, no, he said, lowering his voice to a growl. No, you're not leaving, Jerry.
Huh? I cried. He tightened his grip on my wrist. He was really hurting me.
Quitting? He exclaimed, not with those hands. His face twisted into an ugly snarl. You can't quit, Jerry. I need those beautiful hands.
Oh, the hands. He chopped his hands off. How's everyone doing? We're almost done. Well, got like a little bit left.
Doing all right, Nick.
Have to say, this book is a little more exciting than I thought it would be. I mean, there's faces melting off and hands being chopped off. I'm actually excited to read the conclusion, although I do remember this one from my childhood slightly. So, I think I already know how it ends, but I'm kind of curious. Hope we're all having a good time tonight. Oh yeah, the Seattle Seahawks are trying to upset the Saints right now, so I keep running back and forth, and I'm actually missing, like, the last drive of the game so I can finish recording this, because, you know, that's dedication. But, Chargers aren't in it, so fuck it.
Chapter 24.
Let go, I screamed. He ignored me and tightened his grip, his eyes narrowing menacingly.
Such excellent hands, he muttered.
Excellent. No! With a shrill cry, I jerked my wrist free. I leapt up from the piano bench and began running to the door.
Come back, Jerry! Dr. Shriek called angrily. You cannot get away!
He started after me, moving stiffly but steadily, taking long strides. I pushed open the door and started out into the hall. The banging of piano music greeted my ears. The long, dark hall was as empty as always.
Come back, Jerry!
Dr. Shriek called from right behind me. No! I cried out again. I hesitated, trying to decide which way to go, which way led to the front door. Then I lowered my head and started to run. My sneakers thudded over the hard floor. I ran as fast as I could, faster than I'd ever run in my life. The practice rooms whirred past in a dark blur. But to my surprise, Dr. Shriek kept right behind me.
Come back, Jerry, he called, not even sounding out of breath. Come back, you cannot get away from me.
Glancing back, I saw that he was gaining on me. I could feel the panic rise to my throat, choking off my air.
My legs ached. My heart pounded so hard, it felt as if my chest were about to burst. I turned a corner and ran down another long hall. Where was I? Was I heading toward the front door? I couldn't tell. This hallway looked just like all the others. Maybe Dr. Shriek is right. Maybe I can't get away, I thought, feeling the blood throb at my temples as I turned another corner. I searched for Mr. Toggle. Perhaps he could save me, but the halls were empty. Piano music poured out of every room, but no one was out in the hall.
Come back, Jerry. There's no use running.
Mr. Toggle, I screamed, my voice hoarse and breathless. Mr. Toggle, help me. Help me, please. I turned another corner, my sneakers sliding on the smoothly polished floor. I was gasping for breath now, my chest heaving. I saw double doors up ahead. Did they lead to the front? I couldn't remember. With a low moan, I stuck out both hands and pushed open the doors.
No! I heard Dr. Shriek shout behind me. No, Jerry, don't go into the recital hall!
Too late. I pushed through the doors and bolted inside. Still running, I found myself in an enormous, brightly lit room. I took a few more steps, then stopped in horror. The piano music was deafening, like a never-ending roar of thunder. First, the room was a blur, then it slowly began to come into focus. I saw row after row of black pianos. Beside each piano stood a smiling instructor. The instructors all looked alike. They were all bobbing their heads in time to the music. The music was being played by... It was being played by... I gasped, staring from row to row. The music was being played by... hands! Human hands floating over the keyboards. No people attached. Just hands. Chapter 25. My eyes darted down the rows of pianos. A pair of hands floated above each piano. The instructors were all bald-headed men in gray suits with smiles plastered on their faces. Their heads bobbed and swayed. Their gray eyes opened and closed as the hands played over the keyboards. Hands. Just hands. As I gaped, paralyzed, trying to make sense of what I saw, Dr. Shriek burst into the room from behind me. He made a running dive at my legs, trying to tackle me. Somehow I dodged away from his outstretched hands. He groaned and hit the floor on his stomach. I watched him slide across the smooth floor, his face red with anger. Then I spun around, away from the dozens of hands, away from the banging pianos, and started back toward the doors. But Dr. Shriek was faster than I imagined. To my surprise, he was on his feet in a second, moving quickly to block my escape. I skidded to a stop. I tried to turn around to get away from him, but I lost my balance and fell, because he likes falling. The piano music swirled around me. I looked up to see the rows of hands pounding away on their keyboards. With a frightened gasp, I struggled to my feet. Too late. Dr. Shriek was closing in on me, a gleeful smile of triumph on his red, round face.
All right. Shit's getting crazy. The Seahawks did it. Upset the Super Bowl champs. Anyway, sorry, Dune.
Chapter 26. No! I cried and tried to climb to my feet, but Dr. Shriek bent over me, grabbed my left ankle, and held on.
You can't get away, Jerry,
he said calmly, not even out of breath.
Let me go! Let me go!
I tried to twist out of his grip, but he was surprisingly strong. I couldn't free myself.
Help me, somebody help me! I cried, screaming over the roar of the pianos. I need your hands, Jerry, Dr. Shriek said. Such beautiful hands.
You can't, you can't, I shrieked. The double doors burst open. Mr. Toggle ran in, his expression confused. His eyes darted quickly around the enormous room.
Mr. Toggle, I cried happily. Mr. Toggle, help me. He's crazy. Help me.
Mr. Toggle's mouth dropped open in surprise.
Don't worry, Jerry, he called. Help me. Hurry, I screamed. Don't worry, he repeated. Jerry, you can't get away, Dr. Shriek cried, holding me down on the floor.
Struggling to free myself, I watched Mr. Toggle run to the far wall. He pulled open a gray metal door, revealing some kind of control panel.
Don't worry, he called to me.
I saw him pull a switch on the control panel. Instantly, Dr. Shriek's hand loosened. I pulled my leg free and scrambled to my feet, panting hard. Dr. Shriek slumped into a heap. His hands drooped lifelessly to his sides. His eyes closed. His head sank, his chin lowering to his chest. He didn't move.
He's some kind of robot, I saw to my amazement.
Are you okay, Jerry? Mr. Toggle had hurried to my side. I suddenly realized my entire body was trembling.
The piano music roared inside my head. The room began to spin. I held my hands over my ears, trying to shut out the pounding noise. "Make them stop! Tell them to stop!" I cried. Mr. Toggle jogged back to the control panel and threw another switch. The music stopped. The hands froze in place over their keyboards. The instructors stopped bobbing their heads. "Robots. All robots," I murmured, still shaking. Mr. Toggle hurried back, his dark eyes studying me. "You're okay?" "Dr. Shriek, he's a robot?" I uttered in a trembling whisper. If only I could get my knees to stop shaking.
"Yes, he's my best creation," Mr. Toggle declared, smiling. He placed a hand on Dr. Shriek's still shoulder. "He's really lifelike, isn't he?"
They're all robots," I whispered, motioning to the instructors frozen beside their pianos. Mr. Toggle nodded.
"Primitive ones," he said, still leaning on Dr. Shriek. "They're not as advanced as my buddy Dr. Shriek here."
"You made them all?" I asked. Mr. Toggle nodded, smiling. "Every one of them." I couldn't stop shaking. I was starting to feel really sick. "Thanks for stopping him. I guess Dr. Shriek was out of control or something. I've got to go now," I said weakly. I started walking toward the double doors, forcing my trembling knees to cooperate.
"Not just yet," Mr. Toggle said, placing a gentle hand on my shoulder.
"Huh?" I turned to face him. "You can't leave just yet," he said, his smile fading.
"I need them hands, see?"
"What?" He pointed to a piano against the wall. A gray-suited instructor stood lifelessly beside it, a smile frozen on his face. There were no hands suspended over the keyboard.
"That will be your piano, Jerry."
27, chapter 27. 27, chapter 27. Hey! I started backing toward the double doors one step at a time. "Why?" I stammered. "Why do you need my hands?" "Human hands are too hard to build, too complicated, too many parts," Mr. Toggle replied. He scratched his black, stubbly beard with one hand as he moved toward me. "But," I started, taking another step back. "I can make the hands play beautifully," Mr. Toggle explained, his eyes locked on mine. "I've designed computer programs to make them play more beautifully than any live human can play. But I can't build hands. The students must supply the hands."
"But why?" I demanded. "Why are you doing this?"
"To make beautiful music, naturally," Mr. Toggle replied, taking another step closer.
"I love beautiful music, Jerry, and music is so much more beautiful, so much more perfect when human mistakes don't get in the way."
He took another step toward me, then another.
"You understand, don't you?"
His dark eyes burned into mine.
"No," I screamed. "No, I don't understand. You can't have my hands. You just can't."
I took another step back. My legs were still trembling. "If I can just get through those doors," I thought, "maybe I have a chance. Maybe I can outrun them. Maybe I can get out of this crazy building." It was my only hope. Gathering my strength, ignoring the pounding of my heart, I turned. I darted toward the doors.
"Oh!" I cried out as the ghost woman appeared in front of me. "What's she doing here?"
"The woman from my house, from my piano." She rose up, all in gray except for her eyes. Her eyes glowed red as fire. Her mouth was twisted in an ugly snarl of rage. She floated toward me, blocking my path to the door.
"I'm trapped," I realized. "Trapped between Mr. Toggle and the ghost. There's no escape now."
Whew. Chapter 28.
"I warned you," the ghost woman wailed, her red eyes glowing with fury. "I warned you."
"No, please," I managed to cry in a choked voice. I raised my hands in front of me, trying to shield myself from her.
"Please, let me go."
To my surprise, she floated right past me. She was glaring at Mr. Toggle, I realized. He staggered back, his face tight with terror. The ghost woman raised her arms.
"Awaken," she wailed. "Awaken."
As she waved her arms, I saw a fluttering at the pianos. The fluttering became a mist. Wisps of gray cloud rose up from each piano. I backed up to the doors, my eyes wide with disbelief. At each piano, the dark mist took shape. They were ghosts, I realized. Ghosts of boys, girls, men, and women. I watched, frozen in horror, as they rose up and claimed their hands. They moved their fingers, testing their hands. And then, with arms outstretched, their hands fluttering in front of them, the ghosts floated away from their pianos, moving in rows, in single file, toward Mr. Toggle. No, get away, get away, Mr. Toggle shrieked. He turned and tried to flee through the doors, but I blocked his path, and the ghosts swarmed over him. Their hands pulled him down, their hands pressed him to the floor. He kicked and struggled and screamed, let me up, get off me, get off. But the hands, dozens and dozens of hands, flattened over him, held him down, pushed him face down onto the floor. The gray ghost woman turned toward me. I tried to warn you, she called over Mr. Toggle's frantic screams. I tried to scare you away. I lived in your house. I was a victim of this school. I tried to frighten you from becoming a victim, too. Run, she ordered. Hurry, call for help. But I was frozen in place, too shocked by what I was seeing to move. As I stared in disbelief, the ghostly hand swarmed over Mr. Toggle and lifted him off the floor. He squirmed and struggled, but he couldn't free himself from their powerful grasp. They carried him to the door and then out. I followed to the doorway to watch. Mr. Toggle appeared to be floating, floating into the deep woods beside the school. The hands carried him away. He disappeared into the tangled trees. I knew he'd never be seen again. I spun around to thank the ghost woman for trying to warn me. But she was gone, too. I was all alone now. The hall stretched behind me in eerie silence. Ghostly silence. Zing. The piano music had ended. Forever.
Oh, just kidding. There's one more paragraph.
A few weeks later, my life had pretty much returned to normal. Dad put an ad in the newspaper and sold the piano right away to a family across town. It left a space in the family room, so Mom and Dad got a big screen TV. Woohoo! I never saw the ghost woman again. Maybe she moved out with the piano. I don't know. I made some good friends and was starting to get used to my new school. I was thinking seriously of trying out for the baseball team. I'm not a great hitter, but I'm good in the field. Everyone says I have great hands. The end for reals.
Really, though? Robots? Like everything's a robot. I don't know, that just seems like the easy little washover. Yep, everything was a robot. And we're led to believe that this Mr. Toggle is so advanced, so passionate about electronics and machines, that he builds thousands and thousands of robots, and at the same time, he is so passionate about classical music to seemingly murder hundreds of kids and chop their hands off so he can make perfect music. And if he likes music so much, he has all the hands playing at the exact same time in one giant room, so you can't even, it just sounds like a loud noises. I mean, what's the point of just having all the songs playing at the exact same time if he's so passionate about music? I don't know, maybe they'd be separated a little bit. And I mean, are we led to believe that there's just bodies and bodies and bodies, handless corpses in the woods in the back? I mean, I feel like the police would have to get involved at some point. And this is the same guy who wears a bright yellow t-shirt and overalls, is that passionate about classical music to murder hundreds and hundreds of people. And this ghost lady, what? She just walks in and says awaken and all the robots become ghosts? I mean, wait, how is she so powerful? She's just like all the other ones. And oh, I wanted to just scare you into not liking the piano. So you, even though I could talk the entire time and could have just explicitly explained why you should stay away from this place. I mean, I'm just having a lot of trouble buying into this. And Dr. Shriek is your best robot, your best invention. But all he does, his big power is wanting hands. That was all he was good for, was talking about how great the hands were. Why didn't he do it? Anyone could have done that. Any robot could have done that. Why was he even there in the first place? Why didn't Mr. Toggle just murder everyone himself? I mean, I don't know. His plot seems a little holier than the Pope's arse, I would say. I don't know. This is Nick Sleazen. Thanks a lot, everybody. Dune, help us make some sense of this all, please.
I don't really know how much more I can add to all of your questions. First off, why would she wait around till the seemingly, I don't know, 30th victim or whatever gets pulled in to start saying awaken? Is it just because she has a connection to him because he's lived in her old house for a couple weeks. But I think you're giving too much credit to the fact that he has a love for music. It's clearly not a love for music that drives him. He's insane. But yeah, the people disappearing, the fact that the electric bills, you know, when people are growing weed, the way that they get arrested is because the electric bills are like, whoa, this guy's got 12 plants growing in these lights. That's not normal. If you have enough electricity to power dozens of robots and this and that, people would be looking into that. Especially if it's like, these giant electric bills. Oh, they're coming from that house where everyone goes to get piano lessons before they disappear. You want to check it out? No, thanks, Lou. Good, it's all right. Anyway, thank you, Nick. That was incredible. Now that means I have to actually record one. We have another one coming up from Chris, who's a swell young lad recording some goosebumps. That's it, I guess. I made some chili tonight. You know, that's exciting. Sorry it took me so long to get this up. And once again, everyone, just stay spooky, bitches!